Today's shir is Masechta Soita Daf Yud Beis. We will begin on Daf Yud Beis Amin Aleph at the second line of the Yamid. V'lam Zuva, says the Gemara Zumirium, the top line actually. Azuva Zumirium, the Azuva is Miriam. Ask the Gemara V'lam Nikshma Azuva, why was Miriam called Azuva? Says the Gemara, Shakol Azuva Mitchilasei. Originally, everyone abandoned her. The reason they abandoned her is, as we know, we learned in the Mishnah, that she became a Metzairah, she was sick, and people did not therefore want to marry her. The Pasuk says, V'chayla ben chetred hoylet as azuva. V'alei mentza havanosolei. Asked the Gemara, she was already married to him. Why does the Pasuk say that she married him? Answers the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, the Pasuk is teaching us, the kol ha'naisi isha, Shem Shemayim, that Kalev married Miriam only for the correct reason. As we just said, she actually wasn't a well person. So she's not a person that somebody would normally want to marry. But Kalev was prepared to marry her, so he obviously married her, Shem Shemayim. Ma'alol of a kosev kilo yolda. It's considered as if he fathered her, he created her, because that's what she came to the world for. I saw that the Sefer Avnei Elio explains. The Pasuk says, when Esav met Yaakov Avinu, the Pasuk says, V'yisos einav yar es hanoshim, he saw Yaakov Avinu's family, V'yom emi eloloch. And Esav asked Yaakov, who are these people? And Yaakov responded, V'yom ha yilodim hashachonim elokim es avdecha. So the question that the Sefer Avnei Elio asks, and Esav asked Yaakov Avinu about his wives, as the Pasuk says, V'yaras Hanoshim. And Yaakov Avinu responds about the children. So he answers, we just learned in our Gemara, that Anoisi Isha L'Shem Shemayim Kilu Yoldo. Esav asked Yaakov Avinu, we know that you and I, Esav says to Yaakov Avinu, made a deal. You'll have Olam Haba, and I'll have Olam Haza. So how do you have Olam Haza? To which Yaakov Avinu said to Esav, these children were given to me, a shechonan alakim es avadecha. They're given to me by Kadosh Baruch Hu. Why? Because the wives that I married l'shem Shemayim. And since I married them l'shem Shemayim, there was no olam hazeh consideration in my marriage to them. So that's why I'm entitled to have these children. Continues the Gemara. That's Urios. The Pasuk says that he married Urios. Why is Miriam called Urios? Says the Gemara, her face was greenish from the illness that she unfortunately suffered from. The Pasuk continues to saying, Yoshev Shoveh V'Ardam, Atik Rabbanea El Baneha. All of these names that are mentioned in the Pasuk, says the Gemara, we're really referring to him, that because he married her. And these names, and all refer to Kalev, Yosher, Sheyishes Atzma, that Kalev did the right thing in not following the Meraglim. Shoivav, Sheshivas Yetzroi, he went against his Yetzahara. Everybody followed the Yetzahara and speaking bad about Yetzisrael. Not he. For Arden, Shiyada, etc. He was able to overcome his Yetzirah, not marry, and not follow the Meraglim. Vikad Amri, the reason he was called Arden, Shari Panea, Doimel Averid, that Miriam had the complexion of a rose. The Pasuk says, Ula Ashkar Avita Koya, Hashtay Noshim, Chalor Venara. Says the Gemara, who was Ashkar? Says the Gemara, Ashkar Zukalev. Ashkar was Kalev. V'lam nikrishmai Ashkar. Why was Kalev called Ashkar? So Hushkar upon a Batanis. He took upon himself fast days that he shouldn't follow the Meraglim. Avi Shanas Lakav. He was like a father to Miriam. He took care of her like a father takes care of their child. Tokoya Shetoka Liba Lovish of Shemayim. He was strong in his faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not to follow the Meraglim. Hoy shtei noshim, nas Miriam k'shtei noshim. Miriam was treated like she was two different women. She was treated like Chala v'Nara. Loi Chala v'Nara Hava. They weren't her names. Ela b'tchila. Originally, as we've been learning, Miriam was Chala, was ill. L'fsoif, Nara. And then, Baruch Hashem, she got better. The Mefarshim explained that the Pasuk says Ela b'Nara. So the Gemara says, Ela b'Nara took her by Nara, Ela b'Nara. Why? Because Miriam's son was really Chor. What she said, and here the Pasuk doesn't mention Chor. It must be, for, says the Gemara, for a different reason. The Gemara said, Shehushkur upon a Batanis. So Rashi says that he took upon himself a number of fasts in order that he shouldn't fall into the bad plan of the Meraglim. The Mincha Saita asks that he says, Hoyapanov Domil Averid. First, it says that his face was like a rose. So some say it wasn't his face. It was her face. That another pshat is that if somebody fasts, many fasts, so of course his face turns black. His face turns ashen. What happened here in the Gemara, they suggest, is that because Kalev did what he did, L'shem Shemayim, even though normally when somebody fasts, he's not going to look well. Kalev, because he did what he did, L'shem Shemayim, did not look bad. He continued having a beautiful complexion. Continues the Gemara. Ubnei Chala Tzaras V'Tzayev Asnan. Says the Gemara, Tzaras Shenasa Tzara L'Chavir Sehob. Miriam, after she got well, became so beautiful that all the other women were jealous of her. Tsoyar Shaypaneh Doimek Tzarayim, her face glowed like the middle of the day. Esnan Shekola Roya Oysa, whoever saw Melech Esan Lishta would bring a gift to his wife because they would want to have relations with their wives after encountering such a beautiful woman. V'tzah Paral L'chol Amoy, says the Gemara, the Pasuk says, V'tzah Paral L'chol Amoy Lemor, Kol HaBen HaYelor HaYirat HaShlecheo, says the Kol HaBas T'chayin, Amar Rav Yosef Rav Chanina, as we learned previously, She'af Al Amoy Gozer, that he even forced his own people to throw their children into the river. Why? So the Shef Shemaitze explains that the Shulchan Aruch and Simon Shin Pei, Aruchayim Simon Shin Pei Tes teaches us that, of course, we know there's a rule of Dina de Malchus Dina. That if the government declares something, we are obligated to follow the government's rules. However, the Shulchan Aruch says that the rule of Dina de Malchus Dina is only applicable in a situation where the rules apply equally to Jews and non-Jews. If the rules are only applied to Jews, then we don't say Dina Malchus Dina. What Pari was concerned with, says the Shef Shemaitza, that he made a rule that this, if he made the rule that it should only apply to Jews, then the Jews wouldn't follow the rule. So he had no choice to make the rule on everybody. The Medrash says that it wasn't that Pari made the rule that all the time both Jews and non-Jews should be thrown into the river. His sorcerers told him that this was the day on which Moshe Rabbeinu was born. Since they reported to him that this was the day that Moshe Rabbeinu was born, Paroi, that the Mashiach Yisrael was born, that the Savior of Klal Yisrael was going to be born, he was particularly concerned about this day. And therefore he said that even though normally this rule only applies to Jews, today I'm going to make the rule that it should apply to Jews and not to Jews and non-Jews equally. Another pshat that I saw is that because Moshe, as we're going to learn, Moshe Rabbeinu was raised by the Bas Paroi, so Paroi himself, when he wasn't sure, is this leader of Klal Yisrael going to be from the Jews or from the Mitzrim? Because of that, he made the rule that it should apply to everybody. There were three stages to Paroi's ruling, to Paroi's decree. Betchila in Ben Huva Amitin Isai, At the beginning, he said if somebody has, he told the Miyaldis, if there's a boy, kill him. Lebsoif, then when they that didn't work, he said, Kol ben ha-yolad ta-tzlichu, that all Jewish children should be thrown into the yam. Lebsoif, and ultimately, afal amai gozar, he made it even on his family, on his nation. The pasuk says, Vayelech ishmi beis levi, ask the Gemara, Lehechen holoch, where was Amram going that the pasuk says, Vayelech? Says the Gemara, Amram Yehuda Bazvina, Shaholach Ba'atzas Pitai. He followed the advice of his daughter. Tana, and the Gemara explains, Amram Gala Dor Hoya. Amram was the leader of the Klal Yisrael. Kivin Shagaza Para Rosha, Kala Ben Ayila Yeratishlechua. Once Para made a decree that all Jewish children should be thrown into the river, Am L'Shavan Emelim. We, all of our work is for nothing. As we say in the Agadah, explains the Mashah, V'Sameleinu Elo Abodim. People, we put so much effort into our children. That's why children are called Amaleinu, our hard work. And now, if our children are going to be killed, what's the point? So what he did was, Am L'Shavan Emelim, Amad the Girish Ishtai. So if Anthony divorced his wife, if he did so, Am the Kul of the Girishness the same. Everybody followed him and they divorced their wives. Am Lai Bitai. So his daughter Miriam said to Amram, Abba, Koshik Zirasku Yes Mishal Paroi. Your decree is worse than Paroi's decree. Shaparo Lai Gazar El Al Zacharim. Paroi only made a decree that affects the boys. If husbands and wives won't be together, there wouldn't be even girls. Paroi goza ela olam haza. People in this world get born and they die, and you and then go to olam haba. But because of your gzera, they won't be able to go to olam haba because they will have never be born. Olam haza olam haba. Para Russia, Suffolk Miskayosu Gzarisu, Suffolk Enim Miskayemus. Pari makes a decree. We don't know what he says will really happen. He doesn't have the ultimate authority. At a tzaddik, but you're a tzaddik, and we know the power of a gzera of a tzaddik. And therefore, Bivadai, if everybody's going to leave their wives because of you, Zeroscha Miskayemus, Shenemar, as it says about tzaddikim, whatever tzaddik decrees is what happens. So I saw that the Beis Yisrael says that the pasuk says here, V'yelech ish mi beis Levi, V'yikach es beis Levi. So the question is, why are they not called by their names, Yecheved and Amram? So the answer is based on our Gemara. What made them special wasn't that they were Amram and Yocheved. What made them special was who they were. They were base Levi, v'yikach ishmi, base Levi, v'yikach aspas Levi. The fact that they were these great people is the reason, as the Gemara says, everybody followed what they did. Another pshat that I saw is that how does someone have a great child? Great children come from great parents. And the Gemara is saying the father was Ish Meis Levi, and the mother was a Bas Levi. When that happens, that's when we have to be most. That's when you have children like Moshe Rabbeinu. The Sefer Chochmas Hamitzvah explains that what the Gemara really means to point out is what is the difference between Tzaddikim and Rishoyim. When we look at Amram and we look at Yocheved, they were tzaddikim. And because they were tzaddikim, what they did and what they tried to accomplish has a lasting effect, lo'olam v'od. But when it's Paroi, Paroi's a Rasha, and everything that a Rasha does is meaningless. The Rav Tzadik explains that why doesn't the Torah explicitly say that they got divorced? Because the Torah wants to teach us that it's not the divorce that's most important. What's most important for us to think about is Amram's thinking and Miriam's reaction. And that's why that is the focus. That is the focus of our Gemara. Says the Gemara, V'yikach es bas Levi. So ask the Gemara, it shouldn't have said V'yikach bas Levi. V'yikach means that they got married now. They didn't get married now, they just got remarried now. So wouldn't it be appropriate, says the Gemara, that the Gemara should say that they got remarried? It wasn't just that they got remarried. They made a wedding like you got married the first time. Hashiva ba'pirion, he made a chuppah, the Aaron and Miriam raktum lefanah, and Aaron and Miriam were dancing. They made a perfect wedding. So I saw that the Yalkut Gershuni explains, why does the pasuk call her Bas Levi? To teach us that when Amram married Yocheved, he didn't marry her for her beauty. He didn't marry her for any other ulterior motive, only because she was a Bas Levi. She was Bas Levi. She was the daughter of Levi. And since she was the daughter of Levi, because she came from this wonderful family, and therefore she was going to be the right wife and the right mother for his children, that was the only consideration that Amram thought about when he married her. Nothing else was something that he thought about as he married her. Ask the Gemara. The pasuk calls her V'yikach es bas Levi. Ask the Gemara. At this time she was 130 years old, the curly bas. How's he calling her bas? Says the Gemara, it's called Yocheved Sharos Baderach. She was conceived as Klai Yisrael was going to Mitzrayim, and she was born as they were entering Mitzrayim. Shenema as she yolda oisa levi le Mitzrayim. Leidasa b'Mitzrayim, she was born in Mitzrayim. However, v'ein harasa b'Mitzrayim, she wasn't conceived in Mitzrayim. So, Sefer Divrei David asks a question. The Gemara is focusing that why are we calling her Bas Levi if she's 130 years old? Why isn't the Gemara focusing on the fact that she had a baby when she was 130 years old? So Divrei David explains that a tzaddik should be able to have children when they're old. It was not considered a big nace. We found that by the Ovis as well. What was considered a nace was that she's considered a bas levi at that time. The Sefer Yalkut Yosef explains along the same line that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made that Yocheved, the mother of Moshe Rabbeinu, should not be conceived in Mitzrayim. The mother of Moshe Rabbeinu, who's going to be the leader of Klal Yisrael, cannot be a woman who was conceived in Mitzrayim. She had to be conceived still in Eretz Yisrael, the Kedusha of Mitara. Amar Yehuda, so ask the Gemara again, why are we calling her Bas Levi if she's 130 years old? Answers the Gemara, null device Simani Naris, that at the age of 130, she came back to being young again. And the Pasuk says, Vatar Isha, Vatel Meben, says the Gemara, but it's not true. It seems that she was already pregnant from before. For Havas me Abrabe Tlasiyach Likara, wasn't she already pregnant before? Amr Yehuda Bazvina, Makshli Dosil Hairosa, Marosa Shlem Nasar, that when she got pregnant, that isn't painful. Af leidosa shloi b'tzar, she didn't feel any pain when she had Moshe Rabbeinu. And says the Gemara, Mekala noshin tzedkonius, women who are tzedkonius loy hayapiska shel Chava are not included in the gzeir that Chava made, or that Hashem gave to Chava, to etzev taildi bunny, that children will be born with pain. The pasuk says, v'teira yisoy kitoivu. She saw that he was Toiv. Tanya Remeya Oimer Toiv Shmai. The name that he was given was Toiv. Yehuda Oimer, the name that he was given was Tov Yishmai. Nechen Yomer Hogel Navius. She saw that he is an individual that were able to be a Navi. Achem Remeya Shnol Kishumol, he was born when he already had a bris mila. Chamam Bishar Shnol Moshe, when Moshe Rabbeinu was born, Nespala Habayis Kula Or, the entire house became illuminated. Ksiv Hacha, says the Gemara, Ksiv Hacha, V'teira Isa Kitaifu, V'ksiv Hasam, and the Pasuk uses similar wording in Pashas Bereishis, when light was created, V'yaras Elkim Kitaif. The Mefarshim explain that by the Ovis and by the Shvatim, what the Gemara means to say, the Pasuk says, V'teira Isa Kitaifu. Normally, in the Torah, we find when the Shvatim or Ovis are born, their name is given immediately. Yet here, we don't find that the Torah mentions a name given to Moshe Rabbeinu on the day he's born. It must be that his name was Taif. The Torah Tamima explains that the Torah in Parashas, going back to Parashas Bereishis, uses the words Ki Taif on the days where things that were created were completed. And that's why we know on Yom Sheni, on the second day of creation, it doesn't say Ki Taif because what was created wasn't completed. And something that is not complete is not called Toiv. Says the Torah Tamima, what's the proof that Moshe Rabbeinu was born with the Bris Milah? Because the Pasuk says that when Moshe Rabbeinu was born, he was Toiv, he was good. If he did not have yet a Bris Milah, we could not have ever used the word Toiv. The Pasuk could never have used the word Toiv. The fact that the Pasuk does use the word Taif is clearly an indication that he already was born with a Bris Milah. The Pasuk continues to say about Yocheved and her son Moshe, but Tetzpenei Shlosh Yerachim, she hid him for 3 months. The Leimana Mitzrayim, because the Mitzrayim knew she was pregnant, and they would come check if she had a baby, but it would only be after 9 months. El Mishad Dahadra, and they thought she only got pregnant after she got remarried to Amram. The Avis Ma'abra, but actually, as we learned, she was already pregnant 3 months prior. He Avis Ma'abra Bey Telas Yachim Yikara. For Lo Yachloid, it's Binoy, and she can no longer hide him. Ask the Gemara, why not? Amai, Tetzpinei V'Tezel, why didn't she continue hiding him? Says the Gemara, wherever the Mitzrayim were suspicious that a Jewish child was born, they would bring another child there, and the child that they would bring would cry. And what happens is, when one child cries, the other child cries as well. Or Mavi, that would cause him to cry, and that's how he would be, the hidden child would be exposed. The Ksiv, a Chozlan, a Shulam, Shulam, Ketanim, that they play tricks on them in order that they should, that's the way they play the trick to be able to discover if there's a child there. The Pasuk says, V'tikach loy teva skoima, Yocheved took a tar box, Maishna mi goima, why did it take a box made out of goima? They're very concerned about what they spend. And therefore, she was careful to take an inexpensive material to use for him. The Kokach Lama, why are they so concerned about not spending money? Because they don't spend money, they don't steal. It was something soft. She was putting him into the river. In the river, there are all sorts of waves. She put him in a place that she would not be, that he would be able to, the backs would be able to stand. And that's explained. So what the Gemara means is saying that she used goyma instead of wood. The reason she used goyma instead of wood is because of because they're careful with their money. So, of course, the Ben Yoyada asked the question that here it was her precious son, and she was trying to do whatever she can to protect her precious son. So she's going to now start thinking about money when she's starting to build the backs for him. So explains the Ben Yoyada. What really happened here was that she was concerned about her son. And because she was so concerned about her son, she wanted to make sure that there should be schusim to help her son. So what was the schus that she was relying on? The schus that she was relying on was that she showed HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I never steal. And because I never steal, that's why I should have the schus that my son should be saved. The Yin Yaakov explains that why is this that way? Because they don't steal. And why is stealing such an important issue? So the Yin Yaakov explains that not stealing emanates from the mitzvah of a haftal racha kamecha, which says that mad the son aloch, what you don't want should happen to you, l'chavrich le'savid, don't have done to someone else. And therefore, what they're really saying is, not only don't we steal, of course, but we're also careful about the haftal racha kamecha. The Ramei Shapiro explains the statement, that the tzaddikim recognize how much good can be done with money. Yeshivas can be built, but their medrash can be built. Mitzvahs and tzedakah can be built. A person who doesn't realize all the wonderful things that can be done with money, so to him, money is not that valuable. But tzaddikim, explains Ramei Shapiro, who realize the power of what you could accomplish with money, for them, manim chavalei begufan. The pasuk says, v'tachmereah b'chemer u'b'zefes. Says the Gemara, what does that mean? Tana, chemer b'befnim, b'zefes b'b'chutz. She used chemer on the inside, because that's a material that seals and doesn't have a bad odor, and zefes, the tar, was on the outside, because that has a bad odor, but he wouldn't smell the bad odor that was on the inside. Kadesh Leiriach Oyset Tzadik, what she was trying to prevent was that Moshe Rabbeinu should not have to smell Chas V'Sholem, a Reich Ra, a bad odor. The Tosim Basa Yelad, the Pasuk said that she put the child, the Tosim Basuf, and she put him in the river. Rav Elazar Omer, the Yamsuf. She put him in the Yamsuf. Rav Shmuel ben Nachmani Omer, the Agam. She put him into a swamp. Kedeksif, Konim V'Sof, Kamelu. So the Rebbe Bechai explains that what she did here was with great wisdom. She put him at the edge of the river. Once he's in the river, the Chatume Mitzrayim had no way of having any authority over the river. So they would not be able to identify Moshe Rabbeinu if he was in the river, because in the river they can't really figure out what's going on. So that's why she put him in a place that they would not be able to find him. V'terebes paro lirchatz aliyar. So the pasuk says, V'terebes paro lirchatz aliyar. Amar Rabbi Yochanan b'shem Rabbi Shimon ben Yoichi. B'lamet shiyadu lirchatz b'gilulei aviyah. She went to become a balas tshuva. V'keno amar, emrochatz Hashem es b'nois tzion, that the daughters of tzion did tshuva. So Rashi explains, she was going to become a giyoris. The halacha is that geirus has to be done in front of a bezdin. The halacha is that if b'di'evid, the halacha, some rishonim suggest, it would be acceptable anyway. The Maray Mesod explains that, of course, bizman hazeh, nowadays, if somebody wants to become a ger, the procedure for geirus is to have a bezdin. The entire geirus in those days wasn't a real geirus, because there really wasn't yet a real Klal Yisrael. So it must be, when it says Geirus, it means to accept to be part of the Jewish people, but not Geirus as we understand. The Mashah says what forces us to take this approach, that the Gemara should say that that's what happened, because what does the Pasuk have to say, the Yeter Lirchatz Olyar? Why is it important for the Pasuk to mention that she went to wash herself? It must be there was something happening with this washing. It must be that she was trying to become a geyrus. I saw the Rav David Soloveitchik Zatzal says that why does the Gemara say that she became a geyrus? What's forcing us to assume that she became a geyrus? So he explains what we see happened over here, a tremendous act of chesed, that she saw this Jewish child floating and she had rachmanas on him. That is part of being a Jew. Because we know that Klai Yisrael are Rachmanim b'nei Rachmanim. So the Gemara is suggesting, says Reb David Zatzal, if we saw that Bas Paroi exhibited this type of Rachmanis, it must be because she was becoming a Geyrus. V'narsa Holchus, When the pasuk uses the word halicha, it means going to the death. The Keter Omer, as the pasuk says that Esav said to Yaakov, "Hine anochi holech lomos." And says the Gemara, the pasuk says, "V'teres ateva b'toicha sof." Kivin the chazar the kabbalah tzulei, when the attendants saw that she wants to save this baby, the bailah tzulei ma'ish amalai givertenu bin hagash alaylam. Normally, Malach Basav Adayim goes exera, king makes a decree. Im kol ha'olam kula im kaim asoy, people don't necessarily do what the king said. However, Barnav b'nei Meisoy, his family members, do follow it. Vat averes al avicha, and you are now, your father decreed that all Jewish children should be put to death, and you're going to save a Jewish child. Says the Gemara bar Gavriel, at that point the Gavriel came v'chavta b'karka, and kill them all. V'tishlach ha-samasa, the pasuk says, v'tishlach ha-samasa v'tikachal, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Nechemiah. Charam ha-yada was a hand, v'charam ha-shevchasa, she sent one of her maids. Mandam ha-yada, t'ksev ha-masa. And it must be, ha-masa usually means the hand. Mandam shevchasa, midalai ksev yada. Why does the pasuk, if it meant the hand, the pasuk should have used the word yada. The fact that the pasuk uses the word ha-masa, it must be, it was her maid. But ask the Gemara, Lamandam Shevchasa, that she sent her maid to collect this child. But ask the Gemara, how Ma'amrit, haven't we just learned that Bar Gavriel, V'chavta Makarka, that Gavriel killed all the children? Answers the Gemara, the Shaila Chada. Even though Gavriel had killed all of her maids, one maid survived. Why? The Lav Urchad Abbas Malkal Mekam Lahuda. It's inappropriate that the king's daughter should remain alone. Ask the Gemara. According to the Mandam, it said that it was a hand. So indeed, ask the Gemara, Licht of Yoda. Why doesn't it say Yoda? Answers the Gemara, Hakamashman. The pasuk is trying to teach us there was an incredible nace that happened here. The Shtirve Ishtarviv. Her hand became long. Damamar, that just like we find when Esther approached Achashverosh, the hand extended. Same thing happened over here. The Kain Atamaitzi continues the Gemara. Mishina Rishoyim. The teeth of Og Melech HaBoshen got lengthened. The Ksiv. Shine Rishoyim Shibarta. Vamre Shlokish Atik Rishibarta El Sherivafta. What happened was that Og Melech HaBoshen picked up a huge mountain with the intention that he should take that huge mountain and drop it on top of Klal Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent ants who made holes in that mountain, and his head got stuck in the mountain, and when he wanted to pick that mountain above his head, his teeth got long, and it locked the mountain around his hand, around his teeth, and he wasn't able to budge it. The Mefarshim explained that if this child, the Kotzke says it, I heard it from others as well, if this child was traveling so far, if this child was so deep in the water that her hand had to get longer in order for her to be able to get that hand, so ask the Kotzke, why did she stick out her hand? What made her think that she would be successful in getting that hand? So says the Kotzke, there's a tremendous lesson in this Gemara. The lesson of this Gemara is that if you want to do something, you need to try to do it. You need to do whatever you can to make it happen. If it will happen or not, we can't be sure. But we know that we have to try. And if you don't try, then it certainly won't happen. A person has to do whatever he can, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu helps him that it should happen. The Chafetz Chaim, in learning this Gemara, that she stuck out a hand. And a person, what do we learn from here? Says the Chafetz Chaim, that why did she stick out a hand? She wanted to save Moshe Rabbeinu. From here, says the Chafetz Chaim, we learn that we have to do whatever we can to try to save another person. We may not always be successful in being able to save the other person, but we have to try to do whatever we can to save that person. Says the Gemara, V'tiftach, and she opens up the box. V'terei usayelan, and she sees the child. Ask the Gemara, v'terei ribayle, what does it mean, v'terei who? Answers the Gemara, Amar b'yosef rabchanina, shirasa shchina ima. She saw the shchina with him. So of course the Arachayim asks, how does she know, she was the bas paroi, how does she know what was the shchina? So the Arachayim says that she saw a tremendous light. And that tremendous light was an indication to her that this child is special. Another text that Aruch Chaim suggests is that she was a tzaras. And there are Midrashim, he says, actually, that says that she, the reason she went to wash herself, because she was a tzaras. And the moment she saw this child, she was cured from the tzaras. Another shot that I saw, that what she saw, that she saw that he was in pain. He was traveling in the river, and she realized that imay anoicha b'tzara. When somebody is in tzara, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there. So if she saw a child in tzara, it must be that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there. The child is there. Vaya nabache, ask the Gemara Karla Yelad. At the beginning of the pasuk, it says v'terei usa yelad, and here it says v'karla nar. Nar is already an older child, a young man. Tana. Says the Gemara, who yelled? He was indeed a young child. However, the koiloi kinar godel. He was crying. He was like an older child. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Amar Rabbi Nechemya. So Rabbi Nechemya says to Rabbi Yehuda, Im Kain, if that's what you're saying, Asisa Moshe Rabbeinu Baal Mum. You're turning Moshe Rabbeinu into Baal Mum. That his voice wasn't the voice of a young child. Ella His mother had made some sort of a chuppah in that box, saying Amra because she was concerned. Shema lo eskel chuppasai. Maybe I will never be able to see my child's chuppah. And like this, this is my opportunity to have some sort of a chuppah. So Ramey Shapiro explains, as we just learned, there are two words. There's the word yeled and the word nar. So he explains, what's the difference between Yelad and Nar? Yelad, he says, is a child who's in a crib. And when does he cry? When he's missing something, when he needs something. But he doesn't have the intelligence to cry when somebody else is suffering. A Nar is an older person, an older child. A Nar cries not only when he feels bad, but when he sees others suffering. Moshe Rabbeinu, says Ramey Shapiro, was indeed a yelid. He was a young child, but what he was already a nar. Moshe Rabbeinu was the person who is the model of the person that cares about other people. And what she therefore said was, we see that Moshe Rabbeinu cried for others. And her reaction was, Miyalde ha'ivrim zeh. What is the mark of a Jew? The mark of a Jew is that a Jew cares for other people. At whatever point they are, they care about others. The Tachmal Alof, the Tam Miyaldei Ivrim Zeh, Mena Yada, Amar Reb Yosef Reb Chanina, Shira Samol. She saw that he had a bris milah. So Masha says that even according to the opinion that we learned early in our shir, that Moshe Rabbeinu was born already with a bris milah, the most people are not born with a bris milah. So she assumed that how did he have a bris milah? Because his parents made him a bris milah because he's a Jew. Others explain that even someone who's born with a bris milah has to have a tavastan bris. We have to make a wound and extract some blood. And she saw that wound of that tavastan bris. She said, prophecy without even realizing. Zen Neufel, she said, Veinach Neufel, this will be the last child that will be thrown into the river. Vanandam Rabbeloza, Maidik Siv, the Kiyom Aleichem, if the nations of the world will say to us, Dershala Ovis Validoinim, to go after sorcery, Hamitzavtsim Hamikarim, the pasuk calls them that they just say words that are meaningless, because Tsoifim, they see. They don't even realize what they see. Magim, they talk. They don't even know what they're saying. Ro, they saw. that he will suffer in the water. And that's why they made a rule that Karal ben Ayila at Yeret Tishtachua, that all Jewish children should be thrown into the river. Kim the Shiu l'Moshe, once they threw Moshe Rabbeinu into the river, we no longer see this, and therefore we need no longer be concerned about throwing the children into the river. And that's why Batel Gezeirtayu, they nullified their rule. What they weren't aware of, a mei meruva who like the Moshe Rabbeinu will suffer by the mei meruva. V'ayin adam Rab Chama Rab Chanina ma'idik siv heima mei meruva shiravu heima shirats tegnini paroi. The tegnini paroi saw that the leader of Klal Yisrael will suffer by the water, the tow, but they made a mistake. V'ayin adam Moshe shesh meis aleph ragli amal Moshe Yisrael b'shvili. Because of me, the Tzaltim Kulam, all of you were saved because of me, because the Mitzrim made their mistake. The Mitzrim made their mistake when they saw me. I saw a very interesting story with the Rambam. The Rambam was, we know, a very close advisor of the king, and the other advisors of the king were quite jealous of the Rambam. And because they were so jealous of the Rambam, what they did was they told the king that the Rambam was planning against him and to kill him. So the Rambam saw that he was in a bad place and he ran away and he ran to the home of one of his Talmidim and he asked that Talmid that he should be able to, he should give him a large barrel of water. And the Rambam sat on top of that barrel of water. The king's advisors tried to find him, and they couldn't find him, and they went to the sorcerers, and they couldn't find him either. The king right away saw that the Rambam must be innocent, and that's why they can't find him. And he sent a message, he sent out a news bulletin that the Rambam has nothing to worry. When Rambam came back, the king asked him, why couldn't they find you? He says, because they have no power over the water. And since they have no power over the water, that's why I sat on top of water. That's where they wouldn't be able to have any power. The day that Moshe Rabbeinu was saved from the river was 21 days in Nisan. The Malachim said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Rabbeinu Shloilem, Mi shasa lo mishira al yam b'yom zeh. The one that's going to say Shira on this very day, Yilke b'yom zeh, should be suffer on this day. It was actually 6 days and seven. Rama Malacha Shasal Fnei Kodesh Baruch Hu, Banish Loilam, Mi Sha'asa Kabo Torah Ma'asina b'yom zeh. The one that's going to receive the Torah on this day, Shavuos, Yilke b'yom zeh. So Mefarshim explained that the machloik, the Enel Yog explains that the machloikus they had, the malachim had, is what that they're having here is what is more important, Torah or Tefillah? Is it Shavuos because that's the day of Kabbalah's Torah, or is it Chaf Aleph Nisan, the day of the Shira, which represents Tefillah? Bishlam l'mandam shish b'seven says the Marakoyin to the mandam that this happened in 6 days and seven. It's well understandable. Bishkach shlosh yarchim. The 3 months that his mother was able to hide him are understandable. Damamar, as we've learned, b'shiva adam meis, Moshe Rabbeinu died shiva b'ada, or b'shiva b'ada noel Moshe, and shiva b'ada Moshe Rabbeinu was born. B'shiva b'ada v'at shish b'seven, from 7 days in adam until 6 days in seven, t'losu yarchi. We have exactly 3 months, and that represents the 3 months that we are speaking about. El man damar. But ask the coin tomorrow. According to the mandam that this took place on Esther Vechem and Nissen, Hechem Shkachsla, waited 3 months. Answers the Gemara. Oysa Shanim Uberes Oysa. That year was a leap year. So we had Rubishal Rishon from 7 days in Adar Rishon until the end of the month. Rubishal Achron from the beginning of Nisan until 21 days in Nisan, and the whole Adar Sheni, that's how we get the 3 months. Says the Pasuk, the time Achosel Bas Paroi, Miriam Moshe Rabbeinu's sister says to Bas Parei, "Ha'elach v'karasu lach isha v'nekes min avriyos. Should I call for you a woman, a Jewish wet nurse?" Ask the Gemara Mishnah Mivrius, why must it be a Jewish woman? Melamed says the Mishnah Chzir LeMoshe Akol Mitzrius Kulan. They tried to get Moshe Rabbeinu to nurse from a non-Jewish woman, V'lo Yonak, and he refused. Omar, for Moshe Rabbeinu said, Pesh Asul Daba Mishchina, the mouth, my mouth, Moshe Rabbeinu's mouth, that's going to speak to the Shechina, Yonak Dava Tamei, should nurse from person who eats non-kosher food. V'hani D'ksiv, Asmi Yeridea, L'mi Yeridea, L'mi Yavin Shmua, who is the one that should learn Torah? For somebody who's careful not to be nursed from somebody who eats non-kosher. And the Shulchan Aruch says that this is a halacha not only by Moshe Rabbeinu, it applies to every Jewish child. The Shulchan Aruch in Yerideya, Simon Pei Aleph Siv Zayin, says that we should avoid nursing a Jewish child from someone who eats non-kosher. So the Rishonim ask, yes, Moshe Rabbeinu, we were supposed to avoid nursing from a non-Jewish mother for someone who eats non-kosher. But is every Jewish child going to be the one that's going to speak to Moshe Rabbeinu? So the Rishonim say there's a tremendous lesson here. The lesson here is that every Jewish child has the potential to end up being a Moshe Rabbeinu. And he should be raised in that fashion by his parents, that this is going to be the child that will speak to Kadosh Baruch Hu. The Rishonim, however, do say that if it's a situation of pikuach nefesh, then the halacha is we can maybe be more lenient. The Rashba says that we don't have to be so strict, and he says that the milk of a non-Jewish woman is halachically permissible for consumption, but it says the Rashba, he agrees that it's a midas chsidus, as we see by Moshe Rabbeinu, not to nurse from non-Jewish woman, because it could be spiritually harmful to that child. The Netziv points out that if you have a non-Jewish woman who only eats kosher food, says the Netziv, a Jewish child can nurse from such a mother. That Drama says that if Jewish milk is available, even though we pass like the Rashba, but as we said, the Ramah says we should avoid nursing from a non-Jewish woman who eats non-kosher food. Moreover, says the Ramah, that a nursing mother should be very careful with what she eats, because what she eats has an influence, obviously, on her child, and we want the child to be born and be raised b'kedusha b'tahara. And the Shach points out that even if a Jewish mother is sick and therefore she's compelled to eat non-kosher food due to pikuach nefesh, her child, her milk is non-kosher, is milk that was produced from non-kosher food, and it could be dangerous for the child, spiritually dangerous for the child. The halacha is that if somebody is very sick on Shabbos and he has to eat meat, and only non-kosher meat is available, the Shulchan Aruch says one is allowed to shecht an animal rather than eat the non-kosher meat. The Meshech Chachma and the Tziv explain that even though it's much less of a sin to eat non-kosher meat than to slaughter, which is a chiv lav, than to shecht an animal in Shabbos, which is a chiv karis, feeding a sick person non-kosher food could be particularly harmful. When a person is sick, he needs to eat kosher food, and somebody eating non-kosher food could be particularly harmful. But Tamalei Bas Paro Lechi, Amar B'Lazar Melamed, Shehocha B'Zriz Kalma, that Miriam ran quickly. Shmuel Ben Nachmeni Amar, Ha'alma She'elimus Devarel. She obviously did not tell Bas Paroi that she was taking Moshe Rabbeinu to his mother Yocheved. The Bas Paroi said to Yocheved, take this child, because she was really saying, this is your child. V'ani etin tzcharech. Amar Rav Chama Bar Chanina l'dayin l'tzadikin shemechzirin l'savidosam. What a tremendous schus that not only did she get her child back, but she got and to nurse that child, but noislam tzcharem, she actually got paid for doing what a mother is anyway obligated to do.